Ever get that feeling like when you're working on some tough software problem and it's like, haven't we already solved this before? Well, get ready for a blast from the past, because today we're going deep on the Sage Air Defense System.
Sage.
Yeah. This program was so massive, it was built in the 1950s, like before automatic coding was even a thing.
Wow, that's going way back. It really makes you wonder how they even pulled that off, especially back in the Cold War. Like, talk about pressure. It's incredible how much they actually figured out back then. Like, so many things that we consider, like modern software engineering principles.
It's mind-blowing, right? We're
Yeah.
talking over 100,000 lines of code.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine building a digital skyscraper with nothing but screwdrivers and like pure willpower.
Yeah, it's a pretty good analogy.
Thankfully, we have Herb Bennington's firsthand account to guide us
Yeah.
and his insights. Let me tell you, they are surprisingly relevant even today.
Yeah, Bennington's account is really fascinating. It's like a snapshot of this pivotal moment in software development. They were basically writing the rule book as they went along.
Okay, so picture this. It's the 1950s, Cold War tensions are high, computers are these like giant room-filling machines. And suddenly the US needs a system to defend against Soviet bombers, right? So enter Sage. But here's the thing. Software development back then, it was practically the Wild
Oh,
West.
yeah, it really was. Programming was more like an individual art than, a disciplined process. And then Sage comes along and demands a program that's just massively bigger and more complex than anything that had ever been attempted before. It's like going from building sandcastles to trying to build the Empire State Building overnight.
And with none of the tools or blueprints.
Yeah.
So what they do? They built their own tools. Documentation, interfaces, testing. They did it all systematically, even if it meant delays.
That systematic approach, that was crucial. Bennington actually points out how important that prototype phase was, building a smaller version first. They realized that having a smaller, well-understood code base, that was key before they could even think about scaling up.
It's a good lesson, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even today, starting smaller can actually be the fastest way to achieve bigger success in the long run. A lot of projects could learn from that.
It's like they were laying the foundation for agile development, but like decades before it was even a thing.
Yeah.
What else from Bennington's account just jumped out at you as like surprisingly relevant?
Well, this one might sound familiar. Bennington talks about software being infinitely expandable, always like pushing the limits of the hardware. Like how we're always running out of storage space on our phones.
Oh, tell me about it. No
Yeah.
matter how much storage you get, it's never enough.
Exactly. It's this fundamental challenge, and it hasn't gone away, even with all the exponential growth in computing power since the 1950s. This is what Bennington calls Parkinson's Law for software, and it's just as true today as it was back then. We're always pushing those boundaries, always demanding more from our software, and that, of course, pushes the hardware to keep up.
It's like a constant arms race between our desires and what technology can actually do.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if we're always going to be chasing that next upgrade.
That's a good question.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting was this whole idea of centralized versus decentralized programming. Sage, it had to be centralized, like everything working in perfect sync in real time, no time to be swapping tapes or debugging after, a potential attack.
Oh, absolutely. If the system lagged or crashed, I mean, the consequences could have been catastrophic. This really forced them to solve problems that today we just take for granted. Things like communication between subprograms and efficient use of resources, like the things that are just baked into our operating systems now.
And they were figuring all this out under like incredible pressure. Okay, get ready for this one. Bennington estimated that the Sage program cost about $55 per instruction.
$55.
Per instruction. Think about that. That's millions of dollars for the entire program, almost as much as the hardware itself.
Wow. It really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? Software development, especially at that scale, was a massive investment. And it still is. The costs might be distributed differently today, but the complexity and the effort, that's still a major factor in any large-scale project.
Yeah, if you think your software projects are expensive.
Right. And, to manage this huge task, they created a whole set of tools. They called it the Lincoln Utility System. It was like the ultimate programming Swiss Army knife for debugging, testing, organizing code,
Yeah.
like everything.
It's amazing how many of the tools we use today have roots that go all the way back to Sage. I bet most developers don't even realize it.
It was really ahead of its time. Features like simulated inputs, recorded outputs, and symbolic addressing, we use all of that stuff now, like all the time. But the Sage team, they were pioneering these concepts decades ago out of pure necessity.
It's like they were laying the groundwork for the future of software development without even knowing it. And speaking of getting things right, let's not forget their insane dedication to testing. They knew that even a tiny error could be disastrous.
Right.
Bennington talks about their rigorous approach, like documenting every single test case so they could rerun them after any change.
That's regression testing.
Yeah.
Still a cornerstone of quality assurance today. That thorough documentation was key for preserving knowledge and making sure the program could be maintained and modified and understood over time.
So wait, they were already thinking about long-term maintainability back then?
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive. It's like, you know, reading Bennington's reflections, it's like he's looking into a crystal ball.
Right.
Like he can see the future, which is now our present. He predicted higher level languages, interactive debugging, better design tools, all things we just take for granted today.
He was spot on. And what's even more relevant today is what he said about investing in the right tools and recognizing that programmers need diverse skill sets. These are still challenges that we are dealing with as software just continues to shape the world around us.
It's a powerful reminder that some challenges in software development, they're timeless, right? But so is that ingenuity to overcome them. Mm. I think it's time to take a deeper look at some of those challenges and how the Sage team actually tackled them. What is, we dig a little deeper into that Lincoln Utility System. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious to hear more about how it worked and how it paved the way for all the tools that we use today.
It's funny, when you look at the Lincoln Utility System, it's almost like they were envisioning, you know, like the IDEs we use today, but with punch cards and magnetic tape.
A proto-IDE, decades ahead of its time. What were some of the things that really stood out to you?
Well, one thing that really impressed me was how much they focused on simulation and testing. They had this thing called the Simulated Input Generator, and it could basically mimic real-world scenarios, you know, like radar signals or aircraft movements.
Oh, wow.
So they could test the SAGE program in a controlled environment without having to, like, wait for actual events to happen.
So smart. That must have saved them so much time and effort.
Oh, tons. It's like having this virtual testing ground where you can just throw anything at the program and see how it reacts.
Did they have anything like a debugger back then? I can't even imagine trying to debug 100,000 lines of code without one.
Oh, they did. And it was actually pretty sophisticated for its time. They had something called a snapshot program.
Huh.
It could capture the state of the entire system at a specific point in time, kind of like a breakpoint in a modern debugger.
I see.
So they could examine values of variables, track the program flow, and really pinpoint, like, the root cause of errors.
That's so clever. It's like taking a freeze frame of the entire program.
Yeah.
And then being able to step through it line by line.
Exactly.
What else did they have? Like in their toolkit.
Another key feature was symbolic addressing. So back then, programmers had to work with actual memory addresses, which was a huge pain. And so prone to errors,
yeah.
The Lincoln Utility System, it introduced symbolic names for variables and data locations, which made the code so much easier to read and write and maintain.
That makes a huge difference.
It's something we just totally take for granted today.
Totally.
But back then, this was a big step forward.
It's like going from assembly to something like Python.
Exactly. You know, it lets you focus on the logic of the program instead of all those low-level details.
Makes you wonder how they even created such sophisticated tools with the technology they had back then.
Well, I mean, these were some of the brightest minds in the country, and they were under immense pressure to create, you know, a system that was vital to national security.
Right.
Were driven by necessity and a deep understanding of the challenges of building really large-scale software systems.
True pioneers.
Yeah.
Pushing the boundaries of what was even possible with the technology back then. It's really inspiring to think about how much their work actually impacted the future of, like, all software development.
I agree.
But, you know, all this talk about, like, tools and technology makes me curious about the people. What was the actual development process like back then?
Well, it was a totally different world. I mean, this was before Agile and all these, you know, collaborative coding platforms.
Right.
Teams were often siloed. Communication was slow. And documentation was everything.
So it was all waterfall, big upfront design, and lots of paperwork.
Exactly. They had these massive, super detailed specifications for every single aspect of the system, like every function, every interface, every data structure, all documented in just excruciating detail.
Oh.
And any changes had to go through this rigorous review process.
It sounds so formal and hierarchical compared to, you know, like the way we work today, which is more iterative and collaborative. Did they even have code reviews back then?
They did, but it was much more formal. It wasn't like informal peer reviews. They had these structured walkthroughs where a whole team of experts would scrutinize every line of code looking for, errors or inconsistencies or potential
That
problems.
sounds pretty intense.
It was thorough for sure, but it was also like pretty slow and bureaucratic.
I bet. I guess it makes sense with such a
Yeah.
critical system. And, with limited tools for debugging and testing,
Yeah.
all that focus on process and documentation makes me wonder, though, did they ever have any fun? I mean, programming can be really creative and rewarding. Did they ever get to experience that back then?
Yeah, that is a great question. It's easy to just get caught up in all the technical details and the history, but these were real people who were passionate about what they were doing, and they were driven to make a difference.
Yeah.
Bennington actually talks about the camaraderie, the
Right.
sense of purpose, and like the sheer intellectual thrill of taking on such a complex challenge. I think they found their own kind of fun along the way.
Yeah, it's like that feeling you get when you crack a really hard problem or you finally get that piece of code to work. It's that feeling of like accomplishment and satisfaction. And that just transcends like time and technology.
Exactly. And they may not have had like hackathons and ping pong tables, but I bet they still had those moments of joy and creativity that are like at the heart of software development.
Yeah, I think you're right. The human element, it's often overlooked, but it's what makes it all so interesting. Whether you're working on a system like Sage or a mobile app, it's that passion, that creativity, that collaboration is what makes it all worthwhile.
I agree.
So what do you say we shift gears a bit
Yeah.
and talk about the legacy of Sage? What are some of the lasting impacts that this project actually had on software development?
When you think about the legacy of Sage, it's not just the technologies they developed, but the mindset they had.
Yeah.
They approached this as like a serious engineering discipline with a real focus on rigor and documentation and testing. And that approach, that had a huge impact on how we build software today.
Yeah, it's like they laid the groundwork for so much of what we consider best practice today, right?
Right.
Version control, automated testing, code reviews,
All of it. Yeah.
all of these things have roots that go back to the Sage team.
Exactly. And even though like the tools and technologies have obviously changed a lot since the 1950s, those core principles of software engineering, they're still just as relevant today.
They really are.
Modularity,
Wow.
abstraction, documentation, testing.
It's amazing to think about how much impact one single project had on like an entire industry.
It really is.
But it wasn't just process and methodology, was it?
No.
Sage also pushed the boundaries of what was possible with hardware and software.
Absolutely. Sage was one of the first truly large-scale real-time computing systems,
Wow.
coordinating massive amounts of data from all these radar stations across the country and processing it all in real time and then displaying it on these huge interactive screens.
I mean, that's incredible.
It was a technological marvel for its time.
It's like they were building the internet before the internet.
Right.
And I'm sure they faced so many challenges in building such a complex system.
Oh, yeah.
I bet those challenges forced them to come up with some really innovative solutions.
Absolutely. Things that had ripple effects throughout the whole computing industry.
Like what?
Well, for example, Sage was one of the first systems to use magnetic core memory,
Okay.
which was so much faster and more reliable than the old vacuum tube memory.
Wow, so they weren't just writing code, they were like pushing the limits of hardware design too.
Exactly. And the things they learned about building these, reliable high-performance systems had a lasting impact on the development of like mainframe computers,
Oh, yeah.
which, they dominated computing for decades.
It's fascinating to see how all these seemingly like separate threads all came together in this one project.
Right.
Software engineering practices, hardware innovations, national security.
Yeah, and shaped the future of computing.
And what's really striking is how relevant Bennington's reflections are to the challenges we face today.
Yeah.
He talks about the need for better tools and, better ways to manage complexity and recognizing the different skills and talents that programmers have. These are all things that we're still dealing with as we build more and more complex software.
It's a good point. While technology keeps advancing, the human element of software development remains a constant.
Yeah, it does.
And I think that's one of the most important takeaways from, our deep dive into Sage.
Yeah.
It's not just about a historical project.
Right.
It's about these enduring challenges and triumphs of building these really complex systems
Yeah.
and the lessons that we can learn from those who came before us.
It's a good reminder that we're all part of this, lineage of software pioneers,
We are.
each generation building on the work of the last.
Yeah.
And as we face these challenges of building the software of the future, We can look back at the ingenuity and perseverance of the SAGE team and just be inspired.
Well said. I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive.
I agree.
Thanks for joining me on this little journey back in time.
It was my pleasure. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and never stop asking what if. Who knows, maybe you'll be the one laying the groundwork for future software pioneers.